Okay.
And you are
recording.
We're live.
Yep.
Okay, gang, welcome to the February 20th meeting of the Sustainability Advisory Board. It's about 6:03, and thanks for everyone attending and for the new members. So, for the good of the cause, why don't we introduce ourselves, and I'll start out. I'm Terry Shoemaker, co-chair.
Greg Smith, new member.
Mm-hmm. Chris Myers, city staff.
Emily Wolf, new member.
Victoria Meyer, new member.
Cindy Ellison, co-chair. Right.
And Andres Legales, new member.
Great.
50-50.
Half of the group is new.
That's okay.
I know,
that's okay.
Thank you.
That's great. Since there are no public citizens here, other than that, there's no public comment. Except from the equipment falling over there. So let's do some brief check-ins. If anybody's got anything for the good of the cause, they want to report that's occurred in the last month.
I have a few, but I don't necessarily have to be first if you guys have others.
Go ahead. Go for it.
So this will just take me like 45 or 50 minutes, no big deal.
Okay, well, that leaves 5 minutes
right.
For the golden task discussion.
Perfect. Right? Yeah, that's about right. I just wanted to come back with a couple updates. The right-of-way map was one of my tasks for last time. We are working on an update, but it's going to take a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to let you know that hasn't dropped off the list. We have a right-of-way map that is what essentially all the...
Oh, hi.
Say hello to the crowd, Kim.
Hey, hello, Cambria member, SAB.
Great. We have a right-of-way map that shows basically city-owned properties that could be possibly used for community gardens or other types of things. So we are updating the map. I did send out some of the audits, and Greg, I know you got some of them as well. I think Jeremiah might have
sent Jeremiah sent me a bunch, and so I basically read through them, and I have summary statements.
And I know there's others that he can't seem to find, so he's still working on that. So we're partway into having those, but we don't have all of them. So he's working on them. The website is updated with all current members, including Andra, so you're on there. And then Russ asked me to just mention to you guys that he would like to stay involved with the SAB, even though he's no longer our council liaison, the mayor. And he is going to fulfill his commitment on the couple of projects that he had that he was going to be working on. PGE was one of them, and whatever the other one was. So he will continue to be involved, he says. So okay. That's great.
Great.
And I have one last one. I have been tasked. Thank you.
I was like.
Yeah. And we're done. And we're out. Thank you very much, everyone.
Welcome to the holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. DEQ is sponsoring a local government discussion in recycling in Oregon next week. So John, our interim city manager, has tasked me with heading up to Portland and being a part of that discussion. It's things about, you know, shifting to mixed recycling versus separated, the possibilities of it anyway, the policies around that, contamination.
And what was the name of that?
It's a DEQ-sponsored event. It's background reading for, or it's background, sorry. It's a local government meeting for recycling in Oregon, the current challenges, and then a discussion with the Recycling Steering Committee.
Okay.
So,
is it concerned with businesses? Residential?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. It doesn't say in the pre-notes, so...
Anything just about the challenge of finding markets?
That's in there, actually.
Yeah.
That is... end markets being the key to success. Yeah. The national sword in recent market disruptions. That's the imposed China's imposed policies. And our response, or Oregon's response to national sword. So it looks like it's a pretty meaty 3 hours. But I will... take some notes, and I can send them out and even report back or whatnot. So it'll give us some fodder for discussion. So that's what I have.
Okay. Other check-ins? Anybody doing anything exciting or not?
I went to see.
Yeah, good to see.
I was just at the auto shop.
Oh, good. Okay.
And,
was it fun?
Well, it's fun, but I went to help out. I'm
I had my former company become members of Clean Cities Coalition, so I know the chair of the board there. So it was all the, you know, the PGE people and the, you know, green transportation. So I went to the National Fleet Association, their annual meeting and workshop today. So it was very interesting to see what's been changing with transportation and CO2 emissions and fuels and that kind of thing. So I'll nerd out with Lance because you don't really have a fleet. I asked my thought, because I couldn't remember if the fleet manager was part of Public Works or if it was part of Clackamas County. It'd be great with some intergovernmental agreements to get leverage on purchasing vehicles because, I mean, they had an electric sweeper and, you know, I mean, there's a lot of rapid changes. So I've got a boatload of information here, but I don't want everybody to stay late.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing to take away for me was where we can make a difference in our goals for the year because we can all bring all kinds of great stuff, but if we don't have the goals that the council approves, it has no teeth.
That's right.
And that's what they were talking about with other cities. I mean, like, for instance, hybrid vehicles are huge. We had a Ford, I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was a big rig. It was a hybrid. I don't know if anybody here has driven a hybrid or electric, but you got instant torque, and that's been the big appeal is having that instant, you know, it's not just
I pass many people in my
It's so easy,
car.
Right?
It's so zippy.
But the fleet managers were saying at their cities, like, the police don't want to hear it. Like, even though it's quicker, some of these hybrids are 0 to 60 in, like, 2.7 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't want to switch their vehicles because he said, especially police don't like change. So they've been working with first responders, with fire and police. So I know Tualatin Valley Fire is their own district, but we still pay taxes on that. So if there's a way to implement things in our goals for the year that so we can take advantage of some of these programs, otherwise mm-hmm. It's never going to show up in the budget for purchasing those kind of things.
Yeah.
And when I was running the company that I used to run, we had 3 Toyota RAV4s that I had replaced all of our, you know, in Oregon vehicles. And our fuel bill, with one guy commuting from Portland from Salem and one guy commuting from St. Paul, was cheaper for 3 of us than it was for the one guy with the Ford F-150 in Florida idling in an airport. You know, so there's a lot that can be done without a lot of cost. And then I was also at the joint transportation board meeting last night with planning, mm-hmm. and I did bring up, we had talked about this in our retreat, about the planning group having it, new homes and new businesses stubbed out for electric. Mm-hmm. So what I found out today is, I think I brought this up before, if you stub out in a building, commercial building, a conduit for electric charging, and then you've got it on the panel, it's like $963. If you retrofit it could be like $3,000 to $5,000. If you put it in on a new home, it's nothing.
Yeah.
They're just putting conduit in and it's on the panel. And so, I mean, we don't have a lot of development that can still happen in Westland, but the infill's coming, you know, and the state of Oregon voted on that. So from a sustainability standpoint, it'd be nice to be ahead of it, and I think that those kind of things need to be part of our suggestion of goals to council. But I got a load of stuff, so if anybody after this wants to talk about rebates or types of vehicles, it's in the bag.
In the bag.
And if anybody wants to go to the car show tomorrow, I have an exhibit.
I was at the hearing for Senate Bill 1530 a couple weeks ago.
Me too.
And I guess there's a hearing today. And they're especially concerned about amendments that were being introduced with regard to relaxing industry requirements. And so it's not a bad idea to, if you haven't written in support of 1530, to do so.
The technology's there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, for everything that everybody's freaking out about, it's like, no, it's here.
What's interesting at the hearings is the pleas of folks in the trucking industry and farmers who really feel that they're still going to be pretty seriously impacted in their and the quality and integrity of their businesses and farms pretty seriously compromised by it. So,
but we're not.
I know
other states are doing this.
Hmm?
Other states are doing this, right?
Not many other states, but I think that they're
Washington
really concerned.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
So I think it's good to, you know, just chat with them.
Could I add to that? That it's okay to write more than once.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
No, it is. That's okay to, that's really weird to do it, but it's okay to send more than one letter to the committee saying, I'm in support of this. Yeah.
But I think there's a disconnect from what I'm seeing, especially being in the workshops and the technical sessions, you know, that are geared for fleet managers, because they have to deal with purchasing fuels. When they're talking about CO2 emissions, they're not just talking out of the tailpipe, they're talking full life cycle. I mean, how much energy did it cost to, you know, what did it take to produce that fuel? And, you know, truck it somewhere, that kind of thing. So I think there's a big disconnect when you're looking at those bills. Of just people don't like change. And so they think, they perceive it's going to cost them, but it's like it may end up costing them less, you know, in the savings. I learned today that trucks are, I don't remember if it's 4-7% of the vehicles on the road and 27% of the emissions, you know, for the big heavy trucks.
Yeah. Okay, we need to move on to pertinent items. I know this is a vital discussion, but any other check-ins before we get into the meat of the meeting? Anything else?
I could put it here. Last time I was at City Hall, I ran into somebody named Abby Farber.
Oh, yes.
From the Rosemont Neighborhood Association. And in terms of community gardens and looking at, she said they are thinking about planting a community garden at Oppenlander because there's water there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's Oppenlander?
It's on Rosemont.
Yeah,
it's a baseball field.
Oh, and yeah.
Yeah. And so they were... So I don't know if that's something that we should know about.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
Okay.
But she was clear about it, and she gave me her email, so.
You see, it was like in the southwest corner?
She didn't say which corner.
Yeah.
But she just said there's water there. Because I asked about that.
Garden where there's water.
Yeah, garden where there's water.
There's plenty of sunlight
because the fields are open.
Yeah.
So anyway, just thought that
that's one of the things we've been struggling with is, you know, where to have this open up.
Where to have a garden, and somebody that's already studying to plan one. So I thought that we should know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Any other check-ins before we move on to action items from the last meeting? Okay.
Oh, we should probably approve minutes. Oh, you got it. Yeah, never mind. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I see it. It's on.
Let's see, Chris, you just mentioned this. I'm looking at item 3 in the minutes under July, working on overlays for right-of-way. You just mentioned that.
Yep.
The right-of-way map, you're working on that, so that's still pending. Okay. Meeting with City Council.
I talked to Russ about it 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. I just mentioned it, and I'll try and talk with Kathy, who sets the... typically sets their schedule for them.
Okay.
But they haven't set their goal setting.
Right, correct.
So.
They have that coming up. They have goal setting and then they have a team building workshop as well, trying to get along better. I think there's a few things that need to get kind of sifted out first, but you know, the sooner we get on, the even if it's further in the future, at least we're on.
Once they've got their goals set, then we can see if we're meshing with them.
Right.
Oh, I saw that on the email I got from the city that our meeting wasn't listed. So are you responsible for that?
It's listed.
Oh, it was?
On the website?
Not on the website, on the email that went out.
You mean the
city update?
Update.
It wasn't on the city update.
Oh,
I didn't look there. I saw it on the website. But
then maybe that doesn't. I don't know. The city update.
Follow up with that. I think it's Dylan or Kathy. I'll find out.
Okay.
And I'll make sure it's on there. How's that?
And then... Terry's minutes will go up on the website.
Okay. Once they are agreed upon. I think I only have the version with draft on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. And I don't know what Darren was doing to strike the draft piece and make it final.
I dropped it into Word, but I didn't touch it. So I'll play around with it. We'll figure it out. I mean, I know where Darren sits.
I haven't looked at how to remove the watermark. So.
As soon as everyone says they're good, then we'll get them up on the website.
Okay. Russ was going to contact Amoresco regarding our energy audit proposal. I'm assuming that's...
I doubt he's actually contacted them yet, but he does want to fulfill that commitment.
Yeah, okay.
So
still pending. And also, he was going to contact PG about attending an SAB meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, still pending.
And what was the purpose of that?
I think it may have been regarding electric vehicles or electric transportation or plug-in sites or something.
Yeah, we didn't get that grant that Lance had applied for out of Public Works. We were denied the grant from EDA.
He did mention that. And I did talk to somebody today, the First Energy, it's across the river in Oregon City. We could have an opportunity, at least with that Main Street, to stub something out if they've
got
the base torn up.
Yeah.
But that would need to happen pretty quick. But it'd be low cost if the street's torn up.
Yeah, unless you're already under. It's easy to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a moratorium on digging up once you put down new roads, so you'll have to wait a few years.
I was going to say, is it already too late for that?
No.
No,
it's not.
They've got one side of the street torn up right now.
I mean, it's not too late for electrical?
If the city can get it through permitting super quick.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff can happen fast if you need it to.
It'd
be at the Lance, though, really. I mean, it's, you know, it all falls to Lance. He's our Public Works Director, so he gets the say on that.
We're talking about putting in, plug-in electric for the
charging stations,
the new construction in Old Willamette.
Okay.
And I think the PGE comment, I think, was something about we're granting money to something about communities that need it. So Lance wasn't really happy about that phrasing.
They decided we're too rich and that we...
Basically.
Need is a subjective term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
And they didn't think about people that aren't, that have used electric vehicles
with shorter
ranges.
Okay. I was wondering on the minutes, item 8 is the new action items that we're going to work on last time, if we should move those into 6 updates from previous meetings or discuss those now.
Oh, I was assuming updates.
Just discussion with item 6?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. As far as the minutes go, I think you all got them. Well, any additions or corrections or comments?
They looked good.
Nothing? Speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay. So the meetings are approved. The minutes are approved.
Yep.
Sounds good. All right. It's an election year, folks. Anybody want to step forward?
Oh, you're talking
about item 5.
Oh, item 5, yes.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, this happens every year. And
everybody's new.
So yeah. Cindy and I have volunteered to continue in co-chair roles, so we'll toss our names on the table. If anybody else would like to toss their hat in the ring to lead this group of feral cats, then...
I'm grateful to the two of you, since there's so many of us who are new that we don't
know. I still feel like I'm new.
Really, no kidding. I have to look at the structure
of
the meeting.
I'm grateful to the two of you.
Yeah, I'm right. Thank you.
So,
we like the co-chair thing because we switch off and travel and other things.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice. You're well-oiled.
Finally, it's only taken like
break out the 2 WD-40. Okay, so we should take that as a stamp of approval for the existing condition.
Oh, I should be timekeeper.
Thank you.
Okay, so that means that Cindy Ellison and Terry Shoemaker will continue as co-chairs. All right. Okay, so the guts of the meeting. So this is where I think we should probably get into first the. Item 8 in the minutes to review new action items, because those are the things that everyone is working on for the next meeting. Everybody got those in front of them?
Yeah.
Okay. First of which was Cindy was going to bring forms for the Leaders in Sustainability program.
I printed out one copy. I didn't know if you guys wanted it. It's kind of funny the way they have it print like this, I think because they want you to put it on a clipboard and go through your office and figure out all these things. It is quite long, but Victoria and I had said we would work on this, and I got your template for like a proposal for the council. So I think maybe we'll go back and forth and email that and kind of work on a proposal to bring to the committee.
And what is it? And
Sorry, so the proposal is, and maybe you guys can refresh my memory in terms of
it's the first goal.
Focus.
You've got that goal sheet I sent out
Right, talking about the leaders in sustainability proposal to the council.
Yes.
Sorry, I forgot to bring a couple of copies of the goal sheet.
Do we have any way to make copies here?
Yeah. The title that threw me off.
I know.
Goals.
Here's a fresh one to copy. How many copies do we need?
I just gave one to. Yeah.
Thank you.
So 50, and then just throw the others in the garbage.
Well, make two and call it good.
Okay.
It's just trying to burn.
It burns.
Yeah, that was goal one, the leaders in sustainability program. So it's like the start of the beginning.
Right. I mean, I can pass this around if you guys want to take a look. It's all online, too. Mm-hmm. I was thinking we could do like a general proposal where the council decides maybe who to, or could we just pick like Robinwood Station, the Adult Community Center, and then maybe, I don't know about City Hall, but maybe another city-owned building.
Maybe we could suggest a few, and then
library.
They could pick
library.
Them.
Yeah, that was the other one.
So if we suggest four or five and say choose three?
Yeah.
Or just let them decide how many they want to choose.
Say, for example, we could look at these buildings, and then they could make a final decision.
As many as we can get.
Yeah,
really.
Well, that's the idea.
Should we make that list now?
It's a grant. No. Clackamas County has this Leaders in Sustainability program. A lot of schools do
it. It's similar to the City of Portland.
Yeah, and it just means that somebody responsible for that building goes through this checklist. And a lot of it they're probably already doing, like using recycled content and all that kind of stuff. Some of it is, changing exit signs to LEDs. It's quite a list. Mm-hmm. And there's three levels of certification. So you could start at silver and just go through the checklist and see what you can do. And then the county gives you this beautiful glass plaque.
Okay.
And you get listed in the county newspaper.
Okay. Cool. So it's kind of similar to like sustainability at work.
Yes, they're equivalent for Clackamas.
Well, we could say in the proposal that the goal would be to have all city buildings
at least
compliant
city
with this, but you suggest starting with possibly these buildings first.
Right.
Well, and if there's an opportunity to do an audit, it's a checklist. They can just go, how close are we?
It does involve a waste audit. Because I went through it where somebody from the county comes out and you actually go through your trash, put on gloves, get all the trash cans.
Really?
Pull everything out, and you sort it. I did this with Alex.
So you don't just say it in the thing, like, okay, prove it.
Well,
did you hug
the waste audit is part of it, for sure. And you just really go through the trash, and you figure out what are you throwing away.
At my mom's school.
Oh, right. So schools are in.
Theirs was mostly paper.
Yeah.
Is that
a whistling?
So cool.
It was at a camp school in Canby.
So it's probably the same program, I bet. Could be.
I just did that as like a master recycler volunteer.
Oh, okay.
So
your teacher at Willamette Primary 20 years ago did it with her second graders, and they were horrified to see all the food that was going into the trash in the cafeteria, and started a big campaign to let parents know that they needed to make sure that their kids ate their lunches. So it was pretty
real. It's good to be horrified.
Right? They were.
I know, we've had actually a little bit of hazardous waste and when I did it with my church.
So, Cindy, do you have any idea, is there any ballpark estimate about how long approximately this would take to do for a building? Because obviously it's going to have to be a staff member, somebody
it
assigned.
It was really just the time you spend with the county rep. The rest of it you just sort of do on your own.
Unless, could this be something that was done by a volunteer? But, of course, they may have to be looked over by an employee.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did it with my church, and it was just volunteers.
Do you know about it? could take a while.
I mean, if let's say Robin would wanted to do it, that would be volunteers, right? Yeah. That would do it, but I really don't think it's that time consuming.
It's really not. I mean, no. I mean, when I did it for my office, it was just a checklist. What answers can I answer? And then I'm like, okay, the building manager, but what is this? And then where's the holes? So it could take a lot of time for the holes of things you need to do.
That you choose.
But the initial pass-through.
Yeah. And then the meeting with the waste audit, I mean, maybe that was an hour, 2 hours.
I was wondering if in the proposal we should say, okay, this may take one person approximately X number of hours to do.
Yeah.
Because if we just say, oh, this would be good to do.
It would help to say.
Who's going to do it? How long is it going to take?
Yeah, staff scheduling.
Because it won't be one of us.
I can actually get that. I could probably get a figure right away from Alex.
Oh, I'll put on gloves and go through the garbage.
We can make a party out of it.
But yeah. How did you throw this away?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. This could take a little while.
A lot of things are offered for free from the county. Like the faucet aerators and stuff, like spendy.
Yeah, that
stuff is and signage and bins and all that stuff, which is
that's true.
Nice to kickstart.
So, since this is probably going to be the first proposal we crank out this year, and we need to make it, succinct and short. What should be the components of this proposal? Why are we doing this in the first place? Why do we need to do it? How long will it take? What's the benefit? Who's going to do it? What are any savings to the city? That might be something to think
benefits.
About. If it means a reduction in the amount of X we have to purchase or throw away, or a reduction in
definitely there's an energy
garbage costs. So.
Well, it's part of our commitment too. The big project where we're updating our strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's part of that strategic plan.
Yeah.
I mean, it talks about energy here. Mm-hmm. Some of these, the ones if you notice the items, some of the items are in bold, and those are the ones that.
Oh yeah. So
really have to be.
How would this?
Priority.
How would this mesh with the goals of the Sustainability Action Plan and the council goals? How would this mesh with that?
I think it should start with that.
Yeah. In the abstract, that would be a...
goals to the proposal.
Mm-hmm. So is that something you and I will work on?
That's what I'm hoping, yeah. Because there's so much... We can't hash out everything in our short meetings. So.
No.
Yeah.
I have a big suggestion on there that can get pared back. Put on there that... Every building goes through that checklist as a goal this year and within 12 months, and that you have 3 to 5 buildings certified. I don't think that's unreasonable. It may not happen.
Right.
How many buildings are there?
A bunch.
That's what I
because it also helps, because they need, we were talking about doing a baseline audit anyway for energy, and this kind of helps.
It touches on that.
It's from a human behavior standpoint, it's easier to move that along because you have a checklist that's not us saying it. This is a program going, here's the checklist, so that when we do a baseline energy audit, it's already in motion.
Yeah, they've already seen it.
This kind of primes the pump for the energy audit.
I don't think it's unreasonable to ask the council to have every building go through this list.
Yeah, it's...
And then within 2020. Because some of them may already be there, pretty dang close.
I think you're right. I mean...
Are there existing statistics about the city's various greenhouse gas, transportation, all that stuff?
That's kind of what...
It started
as a baseline for that.
Right. Yeah. Or not necessarily for this, but for the other stuff.
Our major goal number 2 discusses the energy audit. Yeah, and if in that proposal there's any way to say that implementing this building by building is going to increase the savings as we go along.
Well, we don't have the council goals, but we have ours.
Well, yeah, if we start with ours.
Right, yeah.
Then we can check the others.
So we just want to work on that and report next meeting or, you know, request ideas from folks.
But you're probably a short. And it sounded like, you know, they were, council was fine with us just emailing it to them.
Yeah, that's what we did last year with those three proposals. We just emailed them.
Okay.
I'm sure, Chris, that's still acceptable.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so that kind of checks off the second one on the action items.
Yep.
The third one is Greg gathering information for goal number two. That's the energy audit. We've made some a little bit of inroads in that.
Yeah.
So I spoke with a woman named Nikki Burton at Oregon Energy Trust after getting in touch with Evan up at the sustainability office for the county. And so she has actually been worked pretty closely with Ken Worcester 2 years ago. And they did a pretty significant energy audit on both the library and City Hall. So that was done in 2018 plus recommendations. And so what I'm passing around are some of the recommendations, and I'll go through all of those. And then the students from OTI did a really nice report and a PowerPoint that I sent out to you, if you had a chance to take a look at them. And Chris found that. And so they basically dealt with the park buildings and the community centers, including the senior center. So a good share of the buildings that I can at least kind of count in the city have in fact been dealt with in the last 3 years, and so that there have been audits done plus recommendations. Nikki is willing to come out and well, she basically described three different levels of audits. The first audit is just doing a walkthrough in a particular building and making recommendations about changes that could be introduced that would kind of bring in more energy efficiency. The second involves doing a more formal evaluation of a building, which then kind of tabulates you know, whatever information they can find with regard to energy usage, et cetera. And then it will include some recommendations with regard to steps that could be taken to improve energy efficiency. And then the third step is to do a technical study, which is to look at the feasibility and costs of a particular recommendation that has been chosen as the one that an institution is interested in working on. And that kind of technical study was done for both the library and City Hall, but it didn't move forward.
Did Energy Trust do it, or
Energy Trust? Well, and they will help pay for so that there were outside folks who came in.
Is that what MRS
and did the technical study? Yeah, and so those studies were completed 2 years ago. I think because of complications with regard to the City Council, they were never really kind of brought into the agenda. But they're ready, I think with Ken Worcester's retirement, and Ken Warner wasn't familiar with them, and so directed me to somebody else who was able to kind of pull together the information, so that there is somebody in Parks and Rec who is kind of keeping track of this. But I think that one of the things that we could potentially do, particularly like if we met with the City Council, is urge them to really look carefully at these recommendations, both from the OTI students as well as from Energy Trust of Oregon. And the nice thing about the recommendations from the Energy Trust is that they do really kind of look at cost savings and at the cost of the improvements that would be required. But if you're willing, I'll kind of go through what I just passed out and explain the specific recommendations that they had for this. Starting with the library, The building is actually more efficient than most libraries in the country, so that's a good thing. The main problem with the library is that the control system for the HVAC is really it's kind of cobbled together from the system that was first put in when the building was built in 1989, and then there was an addition that was built, I think, shortly after 2000.
Right.
And those are not coordinated, and most of the technology that's kind of tied into the energy system is so outdated that it doesn't provide the kinds of services that you need to really track what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes it very difficult to, in fact, kind of reduce the heat keep it warm, but reduce it like when the library is closed, etc., in ways that really would save a lot of energy. And so I think their main recommendation was to put in a new direct digital control system. The cost of that could go from $113,000 to $256,000, so it could be potentially pricey, but they felt that the payback period would be 15.5 years. So it's an investment to do that. They also said that the boilers that are part of the system are reaching or past their recommended replacement age.
And that was 2 years ago.
And that that would help kind of reduce the cost as well. So those are their major recommendations in addition to a lighting retrofit. So, you know, getting rid of the fluorescent bulbs and putting in LEDs. And so that's true of kind of most of the buildings. So it's at least that's a low-hanging fruit that people could take on pretty quickly if they wanted to. They said that with regard to solar power, even though there's some good exposure at the library, the roof is weak. And actually, when people walk on it, it leaks.
Great.
And so that it is, you'd have to actually replace the entire roof before putting on solar panels. So solar panels are pretty much out for the library without kind of a major expense. But just in terms of improving the HVAC system, that could be potentially done, but it would require a significant investment.
Question. When you say replace the roof, do you mean more than just the skin? Do you mean also the structural part of the roof?
Yeah, the structural part.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's a major deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't just that the shingles weren't so good.
Yeah. Well, the roof is going to be replaced anyway.
I thought it was.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, if it has been or is going to be?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know it was in the.
This sounds familiar.
That was
docket.
So if it is replaced, then the solar panels become, you know, a possibility.
At the moment,
they're not a possibility.
Who would know about the roof being replaced, whether that's happening?
Director of the library.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I'll call him.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's easy. Mm-hmm. I can report that one back on email.
So it looks like on your items 1, 2, and 3, if you go from 3, 2, 1, that would be the most logical progression of events then, huh?
Yeah. And actually, you know, thinking about the leaders in sustainability, like one of the recommendations is replace, you know, incandescent and fluorescent lights with the LEDs.
What do they use hot water for? What do they use hot water for?
Boilers?
Yeah, don't know.
Do they have a kitchen?
For the HVAC system.
Well, I was talking about the hot water.
I wonder if they had in-floor heating or something. Anyway,
so with regard to the city hall, basically its energy use is comparable to other buildings used for city governments across the country. They identified strategies for reducing electrical use and gas use. Electrical use by 7%, gas use by 30%. With a payback of 1.7 years. So this really seems like something that could be done. And it largely involves upgrading the thermostats, installing new programmable thermostats, implementing schedules, and ensuring that the supply vans turn off during unoccupied hours. You can see the savings, the cost would only be about $5,000. And interestingly, there's 3 out of the 13 thermostats are newer in the building currently, so it just be a matter of replacing 10 of them. But they run on average 35% of the time, which that means that the The furnace is running 35% that they're in charge of, 35% of the time in comparison to 64% of the time with the older thermostats. So they figured that, you know, that would be a really valuable thing to do, and it looked as though there could be an incentive of approximately $3,250 available for that one. So that one's a good deal.
Is that still true? I mean, this is 2 years old, right? So these figures are 2 years old.
Yeah, these figures are 2 years old.
But you're pretty sure they're still
accurate. I would say that they're more or less, you know, given the figures that they were looking at 2 years ago. And then there were a number of other kinds of things that they felt could be done that wouldn't cost a huge amount of money, that would also kind of reduce gas and electrical use. And these are the four that are listed there. They didn't have much discussion about those at all in the evaluation report or the technical report. So I can't say much more about like what those look like than what's here. But you can see that they're not especially expensive. The evaluation report encouraged city staff to follow through with their interest in replacing fluorescent lights with LEDs again. There had been, and also that they said that the building appears to be pretty tight.
Yeah.
Solar opportunities are limited because of a fairly steep roof and the amount of HVAC equipment that's already on it. So that for this building, solar didn't seem like it was a real possibility either. In the initial evaluation study, they had suggested basically cooling the server room. I guess it was a server in one kind of isolated room in the building.
Yeah, I don't think they let me in there. I think that's locked or something.
But they suggested kind of bringing in outside air to cool it so that for 2/3 of the year, it wouldn't have to be cooled, you know, with air conditioners. But they looked at the cost of actually putting two holes in the wall. They said, no, not worth it. It's a nice idea, but don't give it a try. So those were the primary recommendations from Energy Trust for, you know, these two buildings. And they really only do the kind of evaluation studies generally for buildings of 15,000 to 25,000 square footage. Aside from the police station, I imagine most of the other buildings in the city are smaller than that. And so Nikki said that she would come and do the walkthrough for those, but that would be probably as much as we'd be able to get from Energy Trust. Now, the recommendations from the OTI students, you can look at their PowerPoint that I sent out to you. I went through their written report, which was pretty thorough and did include information about the energy usage at the different buildings. But the energy efficiency measures, you know, plug in temperature sensing switches in rooms where space heaters used to keep sensitive equipment, and then replace 116 fluorescent bulbs with LEDs. They were pretty thorough and just kind of checking to see what's there. From a clean house, switch to incandescent or fluorescent bulbs, replace the current electric water heater with a more efficient heat pump water heater, and then install insulation, which would be pretty expensive, but it could significantly reduce natural gas used for heating. At the community center, install smart thermostat, replace older worn down weather stripping around windows and doors, and install curtains that can be closed when rooms not in use. Because there are a lot of windows up in that particular building, and there was a feeling that if the room wasn't in use and it could be closed off with curtains, it would really help cut down in the gas usage there. At Sunset Fire Hall, again, switch all the incandescent fluorescent bulbs to LEDs. Again, replace current electric water heater. Install more energy-efficient garage doors and insulation in the garage. And apparently there's some windows that just have wood in front of them as well and are not being used to bring in outside light. They felt that it would be useful just to put in some hard insulation there. Robinwood Station, they said that the building needs so much major renovation that they didn't propose any energy efficiency strategies. They said that the energy savings from these measures is estimated around $5,500 a year for a cost of around $4,000 And then over the 10-year life of these improvements, approximately $50,000 would be saved. So it seems like, again, those are low-hanging fruits. And so,
nice to have these figures. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very nice to have these figures laid out. So clearly.
We got the council to approve the $4,000 last year.
Oh, good.
But then, who oversees that to make sure it gets done? Do you know? I don't have it in front of me, but there was a specific list that added up to $4,000 mm-hmm. as a line item in the budget, and the council approved that list.
For what facility, do you remember?
For
all of them.
Yeah. Whatever that line item added up, it's in the PowerPoint, what adds up to $4,000. Uh-huh. I think some of these probably weren't in that figure because it'd be a little more than that, but... Yeah. That was where we wondered, they approved it, now what?
Yeah, what happened,
I don't know. I'll find out, though.
Yeah, if you could, that'd be great.
Follow up and see if any of that's been done.
Yeah, because if nobody does it, it's just sitting there.
Yeah, it's actually the same question with this, the leaders in sustainability. If people identify all this stuff, who's responsible for mm-hmm. actually implementing the good ideas?
Right.
And who's going to be able to kind of approve the budget that would allow for the purchase of whatever is actually called through there.
Exactly.
So I think that's part. With regard to solar feasibility in the parks, they suggested that it would take over 600 solar panels to cover the amount of electrical energy used each year in the parks and the adult community center. And then you can see all the numbers that are there. The total cost for the solar panels 3 years ago would have been $380,000. But they also suggested, creating carports or pavilions in the parks to basically be the sites where the solar panels would be located. And that would cost up to $880,000 in however much things cost 3 years ago. They said that we could potentially tap into the Energy Trust of Oregon, and if possible, if those incentives, were possible to kind of tap into those dollars, the system could pay for itself within 25 years. And it would improve the energy efficiency for the city by 16% and cut down carbon emissions. So those are, I don't know, did anything happen with that particular recommendation with regard to the solar panels?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So I think that means that we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, five, six of the city buildings have been administered energy audits of one sort or another over the last 3 years. Which other buildings are there aside from the police station?
There's a smaller building.
Facilities building.
Yeah, the facilities building.
Works, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that one's.
It's pretty old.
It needs to be replaced.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Probably better off with a pole.
Lost
bomb,
leader
at this
to
point.
Upgrade that instead of mowing it down.
Yeah, seriously. The real estate's worth more.
All the other fire stations are Tennessee. I mean, 12
TVFR. Right?
Yeah, 12 Valley, right. So the facilities building, police station.
We do own that the old police station. I mean, that is
oh,
city
but is
property,
it being used?
It?
City hall.
It's gonna be
the old one down by the bridge.
Yeah. I mean, if it's part of the city,
is somebody going to pay to renovate that?
So, two things. Council did approve some budget for the old city hall. I don't remember exactly the details or the amount. I feel like it's $150,000 or something like that. Uh-huh. So we are keeping it and doing something with it, but I don't actually remember.
Okay.
On top of that, I just wanted to mention Robinwood Station, I don't know if you caught that, was approved through council for $750,000 worth of renovations.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So what I was thinking as you're talking about this, Greg, was... Uh-huh. I'll talk to Ken and get the details on what they were thinking of, or what they're planning on doing with that money, and we could look at it from an energy perspective and see if there's areas of opportunity.
And then they go down the list first for the sustainability certification.
So that $750,000, are they going to jack up the roof and build a new building on it?
I have no idea.
That's a lot of money considering all these other savings that could be implemented that would be instant.
Yes.
So I think we need to find out if this $4,000 for these low-hanging fruit has been implemented, if not, why? because it was approved.
I think, like, I'm guessing that it probably hasn't been spent or done.
Yeah.
And it comes down to, well, kind of like we're talking about, the ideas are easy, the implementation is hard, the follow-up is hard, and if no one's in charge of it, no one's going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, any, you know, organization's going to work that way.
And if that four of the,
so if we need to take charge of it, maybe we can.
If that $4,000 isn't used, it's going to be appropriated by something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So would it be Ken Warner who would be kind of responsible for?
I mean, he's Parks. He's the director of Parks and Rec. I don't know. Like Jeremiah, who has been helping you, he doesn't work for Parks and Rec.
He's at the library, right?
Facilities.
He's
our maintenance guy, basically. Yeah. Not maintenance guy, but he's like our...
Facilities manager or something?
Yeah, kind of like jack of all trades.
What's his name?
Jeremiah. Kirk. I cannot remember his last name right now.
Is it Kirk?
Kirk, something Kirk, like that. Yeah, I should know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, that he might... I usually see him every day. Uh-huh. And that might be a good place to start about that $4,000, actually.
With Jeremiah?
Yeah. Let me ask him and find out.
And it sounds like, other things just got in the way of kind of bringing the Energy Trust report to the City Council. And I guess, you know, one of my questions would be, who would be the appropriate person to?
Yeah, well, I think that.
Back?
I mean, Greg, I think that's ultimately the issue with anything that we're working on is if it doesn't have an internal champion, just falls to the wayside. You have to have someone who's leading the charge, who's banging the drum, whatever.
Somebody on the council?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, that's where the liaison would certainly come in, could or would come in.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate that the council right now is so divided. It's such a my agenda versus your agenda thing, because that doesn't help us as a small committee move anything forward, because it's about, well, we don't get along, so whatever you say, I'm not going to like. So even if I like it, I'm not going to like it, and that's really a bad place to be, but I shouldn't say that. We're on record.
Right.
I do that every meeting. I do that. Why do I do that?
That's okay.
Because it's the truth.
It is the truth.
It's the
truth.
And we can watch videos and we can listen to it. Something even though it's the weed, just a side note on replacing these LEDs, I don't know if you have a policy here at the city. I mean, most of us would take it to hazardous waste, but if you're doing a major retrofit, there's plenty of people that just huck fluorescents in the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
So just so that it's clear whoever's doing this, if Jeremiah... Make sure if he's replacing all the LEDs that they go to Metro.
Right. To the right place, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I will ask him. I'll start with him. I think it's also, we need to hunt down a champion or two inside, you know.
That's very clear.
That has some sway.
Yeah.
You know, that people listen. They don't listen to me.
Well, obviously, Ken Worster was concerned about all of this.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, whether Ken Warner has a similar concern and whether it might make sense for... You know, me to go talk with Ken, just since I'd already been in touch with him and he had kind of connected me up with Jeremiah.
And you could bring him up to speed on this stuff.
Yeah.
You said he wasn't that aware of it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea.
I think he does. I think he does have a similar care, if you will, for this stuff. Even though he's been here 27 years, he's the new director, so that comes with its own shock to the system, starting a job like that, and the going through all the financial appropriations for Robinwood and the whole Bolton Firehouse thing, and he's been kind of, but that's settled out now for the most part, so it would be a good time.
Okay. So if you could tell him that what you/we are doing is the guts of our goal number two, which is pretty major, and that we just need to find out what has or has not been done yet regarding the previous audits.
Yeah.
So that when we can move forward and with the potential savings to the city, possibly, doing this. So.
And that's certainly the tagline.
Yeah.
If we can find a way to save money, it's a whole bunch of people on board. Mm-hmm.
So next steps for this, as far as Greg's concerned, I appreciate the work you did, Greg. That's great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Thank you.
So that we've kind of got the next steps to go on then.
Yeah.
So meet with Ken?
Yeah, I'll meet with Ken.
Okay.
And then if you could report back to me what you learned from Jeremiah.
Absolutely. Okay. And do you have an electronic copy of your summary?
Yeah.
You can just email it to me.
Great.
Thanks.
I have a question. Did you find any of these places are tracking that, like any actual differences, like at the library or anything that changed? Or is it all just estimated?
It seems no. It sounds like for both the library and City Hall, the information with regard to energy usage was spelled out for the last 3 years, month by month.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, so you know, with regard to electricity and natural gas, mm-hmm. all of that was basically
tracked
in the record.
Documented.
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
There wasn't the same kind of specificity from the report from OIT with the OTI students, but there was still, as I remember right, kind of thinking back on it, there was kind of annual reports on the amount of energy used in the park system. Okay. You know, with so
I wonder if that could be worked in with the grant or the application thing to have them track the city stuff and then whatever they find, use it to motivate surrounding businesses and stuff to. Also reduce
yeah.
their stuff
because yeah.
they'll save all this money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what the council comes up with for their goals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's entirely possible that I think this is really important, this goal number two that mm-hmm. you've kind of spearheaded here, that if we take our time mm-hmm. to write this proposal, I have a feeling it's going to mesh with something the council comes up with a goal.
I think they could use all the help they can get from us right now
to remind
really
them
seriously occupied.
And this could really help guide them and kind of give them next steps that they don't have to.
So, yeah, I think we can, in talking to Russ, it sounds like what he's trying to aim for, and maybe they're kind of in agreement about this, is basically lining up the goals with the budget cycle, which we run on a 2-year budget cycle. So not changing them necessarily this year, but kind of rolling last year's goals that weren't completed into this year, which not many of them got completed. There's 56 goals or something.
Yeah.
It's insane. I talked to them about that. And I don't know. Anyway, any class I've ever taken, you don't have 56
right.
things
yeah.
on your to-do list.
Yeah.
But,
55 that won't get done.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. And then 56 is like almost done.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we could even look at last year's and feel pretty confident that that's what we're going to be working with in 2020.
Because well, last year's...
Especially because we're already...
We matched ours with last year's.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah, yeah. So that could help us, actually. Yeah. We wouldn't have a lot of extra work to do, maybe.
I'm wondering about the timing, how it works with when the city is going to, the council will put together their list of goals. So that do we try to get ours done before them?
Yes.
Yes. So do we know what that deadline is? Is it 6 months from now?
Was it March?
Is it March?
And then it gets pushed out? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that originally they were shooting for February, but something came up. I don't know what. And so everything's sort of off to the side right now.
National disaster.
So this is an excellent time to...
Well, these are 2020 SAB goals and tasks mm-hmm. that we sent mm-hmm. to the council. Now, whether they need to be refreshed on this or not? Or
Well, I don't know. I guess there's a couple schools of thought. I think it's going to start... mellowing out a little bit, mm-hmm. and at some point they're going to want to talk about something other than the police.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it would be nice if we were near the front of that group of discussions, because we're, it's more fun, you know, it's not dangerous.
So would it be beneficial for us to submit sort of a letter of reminder that these are our goals that we're working
definitely
on?
Definitely to Terry, because she's coming on as the liaison.
Yes,
too.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, so we just talked about this at the CCI meeting two nights ago, that they're doing the same thing. So there was a... Well, let me back up.
CCI stands for...
What's that?
Oh, sorry. It's the Committee for Citizen Involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not resubmitting their goals. Last... Actually, over a almost 3-year period, they did an analysis of our planning process and how land use applications come in, et cetera. Now, most of that's guided by state law, so they can't change it. But there's a point where they want more citizen input into the planning process. Fine. They sent it to council 18 months ago, and nothing's happened with it.
Mm.
And they need council direction to create a work group to keep going. So they're resending their letter they submitted 18 months ago as a refresher to the council. So they're doing sort of the same thing with some past stuff that they've worked on. So it's not a bad idea to kind of just say, hey, I know you're busy, but remember?
Remember this, and here's the bullet points.
So,
and by the way, we might save you money.
Yeah.
Which
we
is a huge victory, and
money.
November's an election cycle,
will.
So, you know, it's like, you use that to our advantage.
Okay, Chris, I don't know if you got what I sent out, the advisory goals and tasks. It's kind of two pages. We developed this at our workshop.
Oh, yeah, it's right here.
And so I was wondering, probably don't want to send them the whole thing.
No.
Maybe condense it down into something short and sweet.
Yeah.
With a little introductory statement.
So you want me to kind of...
pull it.
Yeah, let me take it down to a more...
Well, I know you're a paid employee of the city. You may not have time to do this. I mean, I can... I mean, if you want to do it, fine, but I can...
Yeah, if you want to, I'm sure.
Since I wrote it in the first place.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
But I tend to be, you know, like a lawyer. Why use a sentence when a paragraph will do?
Right. Well, you're paid by the 6-minute chunk. So, you know. I mean, I think that's, ultimately, I think it's brevity is your friend. Mm-hmm. It's a busy council, and the more they read, the more they don't read. So.
So I can do that and send a draft around everybody.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And then we'll write a do a little cover letter and send it.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Short and sweet. That's what we're going for.
That's okay. On my to-do list.
The shorter, the better.
Okay, so I think we got next steps on goal number two that Greg's working on.
Okay.
Let's see.
It's a big one.
We got about 25 minutes. Let's look at the rest of the action items. Item 8. I think a lot of those have been done. Council meeting, unapproved right away. We went over that. Rust of bikes, electric cars, pending. Energy audits. That's got to Greg. That's done. Youth advisory council with Rust. That's probably pending. We can. And all to review Appendix B, Sustainable Westland Strategic Plan. The Appendix B, it's very short, and Appendix B is, I think it was, what was it? Title, just kind of a major. It was Top Priorities. This page 60 is Appendix B. It's quite short. It was Top Priorities. And I don't know if we got time to do this today, to go over it, because I think we need to look at that and see what has been done, if anything. I made some notes here. I had question marks mostly about things. Did anybody get a chance to look at that and comment?
I've got our
page up. Not that I can read literally a word on that screen. I can read sustainability at the top. That's about all.
I could get a lot closer and just read it out loud.
Vision insurance.
I know, right? Seriously. That's why my optometrist keeps texting me.
Did we have
I don't know where it is though.
It was on a Google Drive.
It's on the website it's
where's the mouse?
It's the...
would it be under sustainability?
Can you just bring the mouse to it?
Let's see here.
It's the
search.
Sustainable Westland Strategic Plan is the official title.
There's our resources. Is that...
Sustainable... If you do a search on Sustainable Westland Strategic Plan, it should come up.
I literally can't see that. Okay, it's a joke. I'm moving forward.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bringing my mouse and my keyboard with me. Hmm.
Have mouse for travel.
Let's see what we can do here.
Luxuries of technology.
Speaking of that, what is the significance of Ms. Mouse?
It's a German car.
Mouse. I mean, I thought it sounded Deutsche to me.
It is. Okay. So, it was my father's nickname for me when I was a little girl. He called me Mouse.
How cute. Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's a cute little car.
That's her license plate.
Ms. What was the title?
It's a Sustainable Westland Strategic...
Which
plan.
I should send.
Sustainable
one of my
Strategic
actions
plan.
Was to send it to all the new members, but
I got it.
Did
Westland
you?
Strategic
I think I got
plan.
It. The strategic plan they built. They did this like.
I have found that certain things
none
are still a little
here
clunky
were
to find.
On that,
oh yeah,
on
sure.
The board at that time, and they wrote that plan.
Yeah, this is what I went through, and it was. Not easy to find.
No.
I know they updated the website, but...
It's still clunky. To find stuff is still really clunky.
I haven't looked at it lately.
But, like, I'll do a search. Would it help if we turned down
in here?
lights?
Well, if nobody moves for the next 5 minutes, they'll go off.
Yeah, right.
So you're pretty sure it got uploaded, huh, to the website?
Oh, it's been up there.
It is there?
The strategic, yes,
I've always just gone to the Google Drive. That
forever.
Alex gave me, but yeah. I will make a note to do that. I mean, Terry's, how many pages? This is like 60.
Oh, the whole thing is, well, that's 60 to Appendix B, and there's a couple more appendices. So
I thought I just
the whole thing is 71 pages.
It's just daunting to look at online. I'm glad you just said Appendix B.
Yeah, that's our first priority, is to look at that and update it. And then we had talked about creating another appendix that were items related to climate action plan that are already in this document. And we felt that rather than to revise the whole document and update it according to action plan, climate action plan, is to go through and pick out the parts that are related to that and condense them and put it in a new appendix that could be edited quickly. That was our thinking.
And you sort of started it with this.
It's kind of an odious job that I end up doing.
I'm not as organized as Terry. You sort of started it with this.
Yeah. But if you get a chance, the guts of this document start on page 18 and go. All of the headings, the groupings of this document are discussed up through page 55. And I think it would behoove us if everyone got a chance to just look through that and maybe highlight or note items that would relate to a climate action plan.
Well, okay. So if it's online, then we have to download it and print it to do that.
Well, you don't have to.
But, I mean, it's really hard.
You can just, on the PDF on the screen, just highlight stuff if you want. I'm not going to tell you to destroy trees, but I did, so.
Right. I just find it easier to do that with paper.
Exactly.
Than online.
So do I.
It just is.
So do I.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think this is ongoing during the year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think we should have, you know, take our time and really look
go through each section.
What's in here to find, okay, what applies to a climate action plan. And we had discussed this, you know, at our December workshop.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It would be better to put a new appendix in that's just climate action items.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are stated in the guts of this document here. And if we could pull those out, make a new appendix, that appendix could be easily edited rather than editing the whole document.
Right.
That was our thinking. Am I off base here?
But Darren said if we didn't have something that the council approved, then it doesn't matter what we come up with. Nobody's going to implement it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's there. I mean, there's
right.
so
I hate
much
to say it, but he's right.
But they, one of their goals is a climate action plan.
Yeah.
And then Darren said, well, that'll cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm. And that's why we decided to come up with our own little.
Well, if you read this whole document, so much of it is pie in the sky.
Yeah. Is it really?
I mean, it's really idealistic. It's great. Yeah. I appreciate the people who put the work in to do it, but so much is, in this situation, is unattainable right now.
Right.
But still, the squeaky wheel. We've got to keep it out there.
Got to
keep it out there.
There's a reason Robinwood got $750,000.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's not because they were quiet and sat
no,
and just
they're not quiet.
For it. I'm like, oh, you know.
Exactly.
Because they went to every meeting, every council meeting, just constantly.
Well, and they're active in the community. I mean,
absolutely.
They have the styrofoam.
That's how you get
it. I mean, so the sustainability part is the fix-it fairs there.
I'll get the plan and I'll email it to everybody.
Oh, good.
Just
great.
So you
Thank
don't have
you.
To spend time searching for it.
So one thing, I don't
Maybe
want to get us off
get
topic.
Maybe we'll print it for you.
So when we finish this, I want to talk about the website for a minute.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
60 pages
Great.
On it is not a big deal.
Okay, so.
One question.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Sure.
I was just talking about perhaps the city could print this document for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Or at least those of us that want it.
Yeah, I mean, we do that stuff for planning commissions and whatever.
I mean,
do you want a copy?
I would do it.
I
would
think
start.
It'd be kind of fun to actually just have
a
little
take an
hour and two or three people just go through together and do it, just a little side committee. Okay. I'd be willing.
Yeah,
well, let's
I can
get it.
Print copies.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
printing.
Yeah, I would like to have one.
Who does want a print copy?
Yeah. We might as well.
I edit better with paper.
I'm good. I got one.
You can do that. But it's good to mark it out.
Sure, yeah, I
got one.
Okay, so 5 copies. So what I'll do is I'll print it, then I'll send out an email. I mean, there's already a bunch of stuff, so I'll put it into one of the emails, and it'll be here at Will Call, right here at the planning counter.
Okay.
And
great.
You just come up, ring the bell, and one of us pops up there, and we'll get it for you.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So then that gives it time to steep in the group, a giant tea bag, and then maybe we can put it on the agenda for the next meeting. Okay, how are we going to approach it? Like your idea, Victoria, maybe get a subgroup together.
Yeah, right.
So we'll work on those details next meeting. Does that sound?
Yeah, sure. So read it.
Yeah.
And then be prepared to discuss.
Do your homework, folks. Okay. Great. Okay, where were we?
That's good.
Moving on.
That last one.
Oh, the website.
Gather information for our portion of the website.
Yeah. Because
we're talking about the links with the.
So the thoughts I had on that
work and,
are that I think we could use it a lot more than we do. Mm-hmm. I think we could, you know, become a bit more current. I mean, we have things from 2012 on there. But a lot of these documents, the audits, things like that, I feel like we should have that stuff on our homepage, the committee's homepage, so that it's accessible and we can talk about it and people can go see it. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things I was thinking is scanning.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I have electronic of almost everything, you have.
Yeah.
It's just starting to post it up there and then we can decide how we want to categorize it, but at least getting it on the website.
And I'd like to work with you on that, Chris, because I have some opinions about website information, and I really think if the front end of our page, the SAB page, is simple,
yes,
and it has maybe an introduction or who are we and what do we do, and then a link to a resources page.
Yeah.
Resources, topical, 2 pages for us, but then those resource links go wherever they need to go.
Yeah, sure.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's so much disparate information out there now that it's just a morass. Yeah. So I'd like to...
Yeah, I think it can be simplified and have really pertinent and more current information.
So what,
and then even links to websites that we like, you know, or where someone could just get some information that maybe they don't know how to Google search or whatever, but, you know...
You could also put, like, an impacts link. And you could put all this stuff that you've collected on there, just about stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
No one probably knows about
resources.
Right. That's true.
So I'd be willing to work up just like headings of resources.
Okay.
And send it to the group and everybody comments, you know, like the impacts you said about all the different aspects of sustainability, have a heading and then have resources. Mm-hmm. Much of those we don't have to create because that stuff's out there. We just link to it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Darren knows where it all is on a Google Drive.
And so that I can work with our communications person who does the website. We're only allowed to upload a few documents for that were worked for land use applications. The rest they don't let us touch, obviously. Wouldn't that be fun? New homepage every day. I can work with her. Actually, she's out on maternity, but there's a fill-in for her for the next few months. So I'll work with her. When you come up with something, then we can start honing in on that. And making it a more useful space that we can actually kind of promote and talk to people about and send them there. And I'll work on getting it a little bit more prominent. Oftentimes we'll run, you know, they put something on the homepage, like a hot button.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a bunch of stuff about accessory dwelling units, so we did an FAQ on the front page. Mm-hmm. We can just do something fun like that, you know, keep it up there as long as possible.
I think for fun, the sustainable, our advisory board should have a FQA site.
Yeah.
Frequently questioned and answers.
Wow.
Oh, Terry.
You know, my mind is really hurting right now. 15.
I don't like that answer.
I'm part of the original Monty Python troupe.
Right. Yeah, silly walks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You start dating yourselves.
Yeah,
be careful there.
Okay.
Let me know. I'll go over what I've written down.
Yeah. So it's a good time now, I think, to go over the new tasks and assignments and make sure everybody knows what we're all doing for next time and beyond.
Yep.
Unless anybody has anything else to say.
I do you want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Victoria and I are going to work on a proposal for the council on the Leaders in Sustainability program. Chris is going to call the director of the library about a new roof, what the new roof is timeline is. Chris will check on the $4,000 budget item, line item. Chris will check into the energy incentives that could possibly be built into the $750,000 Robinwood remodel. Greg will meet with Ken Warner about the library and the City Hall technical audit and send an electronic copy of it to Chris. Mm-hmm. That's what I have. And then Terry will work on our 2020 goals to make them more succinct to send to the council. But you'll send a draft around. And then I have Chris will print the SAB strategic plan for 5 copies for members that we'll call. Anything wrong? Did I miss anything?
You're good.
Well, I'm sure I missed something. Did I miss anything?
Well-oiled.
Pardon?
Well-oiled machine.
Anything else?
I was going to...
Oh, I forgot about that. Well, also, part of the printing out the strategic plan is for everybody to read it.
Yeah,
study and possibly pull things that related to climate action. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to work up a list of topics for resources for the website.
Oh, that was I didn't turn my page over. Terry will work with Chris on website, adding resources.
Yeah. I envision that one being, you know, a few months of work to get everything the way we want.
Oh, yeah,
But,
oh, no.
You know, start with the outline. And
I will say start work.
I had a question. Sure. I just went over the 1 and 2. What about the goal 3? Because that's my area of interest.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm a health educator, and I really like environmental health education and outreach.
So we decided at our last meeting to work on that more this summer.
Okay.
And we're gonna have a table at the Alton Fair where we're going to promote it. So before July, we'll need to come up with our items, but the idea was that it would start in the fall.
Okay.
So it would be like a fall rollout. Yeah.
So we could advertise the whole sequence of educational series.
At the Alton Fair. So that one is tabled, but you're right, we should be starting.
Oh, no, I was just...
So we'll be glad to
interest. So
we'll be glad to assign that goal to you, and you can just take it.
Well, I am actually teaching a class already through Parks and Rec this summer on gardening with natives and reducing chemicals, because I saw with the Bee City thing, I thought, hey, that's my interest, and I really wanted to be proactive on that.
Okay.
So, I'm just wondering where the goal 3 was.
We didn't even discuss what the new members' backgrounds are in terms of what.
Yeah, I would like to hear actually a tiny bit about everybody at some time, so I know what everyone's.
Great.
Like, you know what they're bringing to the table since I'm new.
That's good to know. I'm sure. We'll start thrashing those out probably within the next couple meetings.
We should add that maybe to our agenda next time start discussing topics.
Yeah. So this is February, March. So I would think by April we should have those pinned down, the topics for our education series.
Yeah, we were thinking of 3, right?
Yeah, 3.
Yeah.
Like October, November, December, or September, October, November. Something like that.
Just so it's not lost, I'm reading a really interesting book right now by a Native American who was a professor at Evergreen State about Native American resilience and climate change that I think is a valuable book. And so I was thinking at some point I could share, you know, some of my notes from it.
Do you want to share that in an email?
Well, I could do it. It would probably be easier to just spend 5 minutes. But I think what I really appreciated is the way that Native American communities are looking at vulnerabilities. And then, you know, that will be kind of brought into bearing to being because of climate change. And then the kinds of strategies that can be adopted to try to deal with those vulnerabilities. So it's and it's all like primarily Washington tribes that are described. So it's definitely close.
I heard about a study done in Puget Sound.
More north
of Puget Sound.
Yeah,
of a tribe that just noticed
the Swinomish.
The one that he talks about in detail.
Impressive. Yeah.
What's the name of the book?
I think it's Resilience in Native American Communities. I can't remember the exact name. John Parker and Zoltan Grossman are the two authors.
And they got a pretty decent amount of funding for like doing research and like basically changing the way that they harvested fish and stuff.
Right.
All right, we'll add discussion topic agenda next month.
Cindy, could I ask a favor?
Sure.
Could you send to all of us just the tasks that we're supposed to do for next time so it doesn't get
a
reminder,
like
it doesn't
that.
Get lost in the fray. That's basically me.
It's nice.
No, it's for me too.
We could set a little bit of a procedure here where tasks go out right away.
Yeah.
And then minutes. We're not waiting for the minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Because we got the minutes
like
the day
it.
Before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I have a question.
Sorry, I got him out late.
Well, no, but Darren was, that was Darren's
that's
plan.
Right.
We're
shifting gears here. So.
Yes.
No, I like that idea.
Yeah.
So I'll do that. And I'll include the past tasks, too.
I have a question, please. In regards to this Rosemont Neighborhood Association planning a garden, is there any kind of follow-up that I should do with that? And if so, what?
Have you been in their meeting?
Just do that.
Are they requesting
a way to start.
Any help?
No, but I don't know if we can even offer it, if they do.
I mean, we couldn't offer help, but we could maybe steer them.
What if
somebody?
What if you went to their next neighborhood meeting and suggested that idea, and then they could in turn take that idea to the city? Since that's their neighborhood.
Do they need the city's involvement? Yes.
They'd have to have approval for it.
Yeah.
Probably a conditional use permit at some point.
I think that would speak more if it come from them rather than us.
Oh, yeah. I just didn't know if there was any function. You know, we were looking for ways to have more community gardens, and here's one happening.
Yeah, well, go for it.
Sure, okay, I'll contact the person.
Yeah.
Okay.
That to Victoria.
See, I think something like that could generate some motion as well. If they actually go through with that and are successful, you know, a little write-up, some photos, throw it up on the web, like maybe it creates a little momentum for something else. You know, you never know. But if we keep quiet about it, nothing will happen. Well, not nothing, but less will happen. If we get loud about it, then it's like, oh, well, our neighborhood, we have a spot, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It might spur some conversation.
I like tagging onto that, Chris. You know, anything that we do or thinking of doing, if we can get it advertised, like get Holly Bartholomew to write an article on occasion, okay, this is what's going on. This is what we're thinking. That's just marketing.
And that's a really good point. She would be great to if they actually did were able to go through with the community garden is do a little grand opening and have. Yeah. The tidings come out and take some photos and put something positive about Westland in the paper for once, please.
Well, and we could tie it into the map that Darren
map.
Had done where they wanted to put it.
Yep.
You know, to kind of keep that spark.
Yep.
I see an interest in, we still got a couple of minutes, but we talked about the right-of-ways and maybe working with the Backyard Habitat Certification folks at Xerxes Society and planting native stuff that didn't require water, get that advertised, show that map to people in any way we can, that, you know, your little neighborhood can adopt this place here with help from these folks, because we're already funding the Backyard Habitat program anyway.
Right.
So I see that as being, you know, exciting for the community and families and kids and stuff.
Yeah, like pollinator strips all
exactly.
over town.
I know, and where we live here in West Lynn, and I know, you know, we have a garden, multiple raised in our backyard, and you know, because we have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, so it's great. You know, they love it. They love the harvest. They love getting dirty, of course. My son does. Our son does. But a great educational tool, and I know a lot of families around us do the same thing, because we don't have a community garden, so you just take up part of your, the best part of your backyard that you can get up.
You
know,
if you can. Some people don't have
Some people don't have that, right. Yeah, the sun's tough. We're limited in how many we can have because of our exposure, but... I mean, how many more people would be interested if we were able to get it out into the community? I think it's a great community builder.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of community gardens. They're fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
Not to mention you can take some of the harvest to the food bank.
Sure.
Yep.
If you don't want it, you know, I think that's
I could see all sorts of fun projects popping up around this. Like, you know, has anybody been to Home Depot on Saturdays when they have the kids there and all the little tables and the kids are building stuff?
Oh,
it's great. You go in there and they're just swarming. They got these little kits and the kids are building stuff. I could see some activity like that where the kids put together a simple mason bee house or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a really fun project that's hands-on that actually accomplishes something.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them up in these little right-of-way gardens.
Yeah.
If you go to that meeting, you should propose that they work with the school to establish the garden there.
Yeah, because it's right next to the school.
You get the students to like help volunteer to set up the raised beds.
Wait,
stuff.
Which school?
Does that mean whether the garden is still really active at elementary school?
I don't think there was a school next to
6 or 7 years ago, they built 13 raised beds. And kids were in classes were responsible with the care of those gardens at that time.
There's a little bit of a hard time with the schools because the kids are out of school.
They're out of school and everything's coming in.
They're harvesting. So that I noticed all the schools in Lake Oswego have gardens, but I know they're.
I helped out Willamette one summer, and they turned the water off. Yeah. So my friend, my neighbor that was watering it, I'm going across the street with a red wagon and my milk jugs to go back and water the garden.
So I'll share a very quick story. I know we got to go. When I was in school, one of my professors, he was worked for the city of Portland at one time, and he was instrumental in the recycling program in the city of Portland. He said they initially rolled it out, and it wasn't working very well. So they did two things to make it work. They changed the color of the bins to bright yellow because the neighbor, the peer pressure of I put my yellow bin out, but you didn't, became a thing. But the real thing that launched it, he said, is they went to the schools and they educated the kids.
The kids went and talked
to their parents about why are you throwing that away, and so they started recycling, and that's how the momentum started. And I feel like that's an avenue we should kind of consider doing a lot of stuff to wrap children in. That sounds weird, but to get the children involved.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why we brought up the youth doing a meeting with the youth advisory board.
Yeah.
Lake Oswego has green teams now in their high school, and they're real active. I don't know, does West Lynn have a green team?
It had passed,
something like that, where the kids would stand with a compost bin and not let anyone throw their food out.
Oh, right.
And they
had
to throw it into a compost. Yeah. And I know the lady, too, was running the gardens there at Bolton. She said, though, it's just so hard to get the volunteers sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And also the summer thing, like you said, when it dies down.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. But if the high school has a green team, that's a good way to just spread.
And the student council, I'm pretty sure, is like really on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
ideas.
I think we've about
right on time.
Wrapped it up. Any last comments before we adjourn?
I just have a question. So now the next meeting is once a month, and then you said that there's committees or workshops. How does that work? Or additional workshops to the, or just in the meetings we just.
It's mostly meetings.
Okay.
And then just what if we discuss something outside of a meeting, it's usually just via email.
Oh, okay. Because I just saw something that said like 7 to 8:30 or something like that.
No, that's a old, so just strike that time.
Okay, sorry. Oh,
that's all right. No worries.
Okay. No, we'll stick with this.
So just some newbie questions.
No worries.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Yeah.
Welcome to all the new members. It's exciting.
I'm so glad we have a full committee.
So We declare this meeting adjourned.